Welcome to Art Watch, an enlightening foray into the lives of working artists. Come on in, step into our studio, and listen to something unique about the artistic development of some of our friends. I'm your host, Elisha. Our conversation today explores the evolving artistic expression and experimentation of an artist who isn't afraid to break boundaries. We delve into the significance of color and identity in her work, as well as the journey of personal growth that influences her creations. Please welcome Alexis Buechler. Alexis, welcome to Art Watch.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. Tell us about the room that we're sitting in. Tell us about what we're sitting on.
Yes, so this is an exhibition called At the Comet's Core at FCAI, and we are sitting on a floor painting, kind of portal-like installation. Yeah, and normally I think it's not everyone can sit on it or stand on it, so it's just fun to be able to do that, and it feels like the energy that comes off of it, it's just igniting.
Yeah, well, I fully feel ignited right now, and one thing that I appreciate about your work is that you think quite literally outside of the box or outside of the square. Tell us more about what you do.
Yes, so I make, I like to just call them queer figurative landscape paintings. And I do make paintings that are square sometimes, but for this show, not a single painting is square, and I was very excited to do that. And I think for a long time, paintings have just been square shape because it's convenient, but kind of being like, well, does this painting really need that? And listening to the shape of it and reacting to the shape of it and letting them kind of have this force of their own. And then I also started thinking about the idea of a frame. And I was like, well, what if I just paint the frame within the painting itself? And then that started to shift into, well, what if there's a painting in a painting in a painting? And then what's really the frame? Is the frame the landscape? And now I'm making ceramic objects that wrap around these paintings. And who knows what that next step is going to be in how I think of shapes and frames and portals.
What would you describe as your primary medium?
I would say at the core, I'm a painter. Even if it's like I'm working in ceramics, it's still a painting. Even if I'm like working on a floor piece or soft sculpture, it's still a painting. It has, I think that just what a painting is or could be or might be is something that's really important to what I do.
You take a painterly approach to everything that you do, and I think that really comes through in this show. But how did you discover this medium?
So in undergrad, I went to Florida State University, and I was thinking, I'm going to be an installation artist that works with lights and performance. And then I like took my first painting class. I'm like, okay, actually, this is what I'm going to do. And then I realized, well, wait, paintings could be immersive. And so I'm starting to dip into that. But I just fell in love with it. One of my mentors, Mark Messersmith, from Florida State University, just made these like really raucous, brightly colored landscapes of animals and Florida plants. And he just encouraged me to be brave. He would say that every day, Alexis, just be brave. And the painting can like turn into anything. And it's okay if like I don't like it one day, I can paint another tree on top of something and just make these radical shifts, like sculpting. And I like that.
Mm-hmm. How did you discover your palette?
So I think a lot of people ask me that, but it was kind of bright when I was an undergrad at Florida State University, and then I went to graduate school at the University of Iowa. So I moved from Florida, which is really hot, sticky, humid, and I thought about the colors in that way. But then going to Iowa, obviously there's winter, and I discovered snow, and it's not bright and colorful. And I think people were like, oh, color, Alexis, and I'm like, okay, I just need to bump it up. And so then I started making these paintings more and more. I was like, no, this is important. And I wasn't exactly sure why. And then I realized that, well, I want a full spectrum palette. And I think that that idea of a full spectrum palette also starts to tie in with like a spectrum of sexual identity and just different identities that people can have. And so it starts to tie into that. And then, yeah, I also just love color. And I think it's just so fun. And I think like that fun, joy, and like playfulness of the color and the attitude around that, even if sometimes the subject matter might be a little harsher in some paintings than others, the color is just like, everything's gonna be okay. And it's great, and we're just kind of going through it.
Sure.
Yeah.
How do you approach themes of identity or belonging in your work?
Yeah, I think there's some moments, like I think for a while, there were quite a few paintings where it's just like a single figure or multiple figures, and they're reaching out and like for this connection with one another. And I started doing that a lot more, surprise, surprise, spring 2020. And it kind of just like, I think the COVID pandemic and the isolation of being alone, but then having to like deal with myself and thinking about, it just got me to think a lot more about myself and where I live and who I surround myself by and who I love. That more and more, like that longing and people reaching out just really started to happen more. And I think also like, I just wasn't around as many people. I just wanted that companionship of friends and family being close. And then I recently found my partner and Mandy. So I've also like come out publicly as gay and open in my sexuality, and that's been really great. And I think coming, like for a long time, I feel like I was living in my art world. Like I was living my life through my art practice. I was like out in my, I felt like I was saying all these things in my art world, but not really living it in real life. And now I am really living, kind of being my most open, happiest me that I've ever been. My real life has caught up with the world I'm painting, and now it's just at this really beautiful place. And I think my subject matter about love and belonging, I just think that's so much more prevalent now, being your most authentic self and like what that means. And I think like my art world, the paintings just make so much more sense now too. And I think, I hope that they, that viewers see that and just feel that like love and acceptance in the work.
You know, some would call that manifestation. Mm-hmm. Is that your intent when you create these works?
That's a really beautiful way to put it. Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
What would you say is your pinnacle, your highlight so far?
So my highlight, I would say that my butterfly cave painting, I won Best in Show at the McNider Art Museum, and it landed me my first museum solo exhibition at the McNider from, I think the opening reception is soon. It's May 13th, and it runs through July. And then that show also landed me my second museum exhibition, the Blandin Museum in Fort Dodge in 2025. So that was just like, this, like, it was this ripple effect that was just so exciting. That was definitely a highlight.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So we talked about a couple of like domino effect things happening in your career. If you think long term, though, mm-hmm. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to end up?
Well, I am going to be moving to California. And I'm just so excited. Like, I've loved my time here at Iowa, but I'm like, I miss the beach. And imagine, like, all these colors. I feel like, am I gonna turn up the dial even more, and what will that look like? So I'm just looking forward to seeing where that takes me. And I mean, long-term goals too. I love being an arts educator. So I definitely like those mentors in my life, Mark and Carrie and Ron. I want to continue to be able to inspire students that were for generations to come. You know, I love that, and I'm excited mm-hmm. to like be moving forward and seeing that through.
What do you say are your biggest challenges when creating this body of work?
Before COVID happened, my work was really celebratory, and the colors were really bright and full spectrum every painting. And then COVID happened, and suddenly all of this like excitement and celebration just kind of like collapsed. And my paintings were like green and blues. And so I had this much more focused, concentrated color palette. I just feel like, I felt like I couldn't paint pink for a while, for months. And so I have a couple green paintings that I've made since then, but it helped me like focus in on, well, this painting can be a very specific color palette. And then this, like now I have a series of green paintings. Most of them are my COVID paintings, which is its own thing. And then I have a series of blue paintings and rose paintings. And I think COVID helped me think about color even more conceptually, just on an individual painting level, versus conceptually as a whole body of work and the meaning of that. Yeah. But I think there's also like isolation and all that other stuff, but color, I think it affected the most.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about how love brought you through that, finding romance.
Yeah, finding romance. I recently got engaged with me, and thank you. I'm very, very excited and happy. And I'm so excited. And I just keep painting this love that I'm feeling and that I hope everyone can find and feel someday. And like, I was thinking, like, I was on the fence between the show. What do I call it? Do I call it At the Comet's Core, or do I call it Lover's Orbit? But that like joy of being your most authentic self and what that looks like. For me, being able to share that with everyone and also being able to share it with my partner.
And I really do feel like people get the sense of that when they're in the show. You're really surrounded by a trip through your heart and your mind. So for our listeners who want to see this exhibition or see more of your work, where can they find that?
They can find it on my website, so alexisbuchler.com. I'm also on Instagram as @liquidlandscape. And obviously, the FCAI Instagram page and website and Facebook. Yeah. Yeah.
And your upcoming artist reception, April 29th, 1 to 4 p.m. here at the Freeborn County Arts Initiative. Alexis, thanks for being on Art Watch.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you more.
Okay.
And thank you for listening to Art Watch. If you enjoyed the show, please write a review, leave a tip at leaveatip.org, or if you can, support the production with a monthly donation. Information on this, links to Alexis's work, future episodes of this show, as well as the video version of the podcast, can be found at artwatch.us. Art Watch is made in partnership with the Freeborn County Arts Initiative. Located in the heart of Albert Lea, Minnesota's historic district, the FCAI is the go-to nonprofit for pioneering new shows and artistic concepts. This program is also made possible with generous support from the Minnesota State Arts Board, the Southeastern Minnesota Arts Council, and Freeborn Maurer Cooperative Services. Art Watch is a production of Inkfish Design Studio. Executive producer, Elisha Marin. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, take care.